Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
You know what that means, Zach? What's that sound mean? What's that song mean?
It used to be fun.
Derailing my hype train 2 seconds into the show.
Sabres home opener tonight, 7 o'clock puck drop, 6 p.m. pregame right here on WGR. Zach Jones and Josh Mitt here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Getting ready for tonight. In just a few minutes here, we're going to get to our own Paul Hamilton, who is getting ready for Sabres morning skate today. Zach Benson, JJ Paterka, good news for yesterday, potentially playing today. We will see more on that. I am excited. I am. I had a fun little tweet today about how Europe's not a real place. The first two games did not count. But in fact, they are in actuality 0-2. They've scored two total goals. They have not scored a power play goal yet.
They have not. And they've had
0-6 on that.
Seven challenges? Six.
I think it's six.
Or six attempts, I should say.
And it's been not great. And so for more on those first two games and what we've seen in practice so far and what's upcoming for this week, we go now to the Wester Hotline as Paul Hamilton joins the show. Paul, good morning. How we doing? How we feeling? It's exciting. Back at the arena. Should be a good time.
How are you?
I'm going to get there. I'm going to get there, Paul. I promise. I'm going to get there. I promise.
I'm going to drag him there kicking and screaming, Paul. It's going to be fine. We're going to have a great time today. Sabres hockey's back. We're back on North American soil.
Yeah, North American opening day. The Kings don't have Doughty, so that should be an advantage for the Sabres. So, the poor Kings, though. They got to start on seven games on the road. That's how they start. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's brutal. The Sabres, yeah, they do get the two games in Europe. They then got quite a bit of time in between those games and then opening night, where the Kings, it's like, I don't know, you're going to forget where you live by the time you get back.
If I'm not mistaken, they started this, I think, in Quebec City, did they not? And for a preseason game? So they haven't been home in a while, or won't be home for a while.
I'm checking that now. And their last game, no, their last two games were at home against Boston and Florida.
Okay.
So they've at least recently been home. But then, yeah, I mean, their first home game is October 24th against San Jose.
Florida wouldn't have gone to Los Angeles for a preseason game. And I bet that game, I think that game was
somewhere. Oh, you're right, That was in Quebec City. You're right.
Yep.
Oh, wow, so they have been gone for
crazy.
A while. The Boston game as well, Quebec City.
Why?
Their last home game was Anaheim, September 28th.
We were having this conversation yesterday about marketing and the NHL and things like that. Like, how do you justify this long of a road trip right at the start of the season, especially if you're, like, in the Kings fan base? I mean, this is crazy.
There must be something in their arena. I didn't look, but there must be something in their arena that they can't get in, and they have to be out of there for – that's the only reason that you would do it is, you can't get dates in the arena, I would think.
That makes sense. I mean, that's happened before. I remember – I want to say for some basketball teams, kind of the same thing. They're finishing up renovations or what have you.
A busy arena, so they can have some famous person there for, a week or whatever. I don't know. I'm just guessing.
I think – Josh was last year in the
Hans
Premier League.
Hans Zimmer is there tomorrow.
No, Hans
the
Zimmer
movie
wouldn't qualify for what I'm talking about.
Movie That's composer. All I'm seeing right now.
He's just having a concert.
All right. Well, I guess they just decided to, hey, Kings.
Leave.
Do this. See what happens.
That's brutal. All right, Paul. What did we see on those first two games against the Devils? The first game seemed to kind of be almost like you got goal lead. I saw some tweets about the deserve to win-o-meter, whatever that really is, that the Sabres actually played a pretty darn good game. The second game, from what I saw just on social media and then the stats itself, was worse. They lose both games. They only score one time in each. It was fairly deflating for a fan base and a team that kind of knows they need to get off to a hot start.
Yeah, no, I didn't think they played well. They played better the first night than the second, but I didn't think they played well. They couldn't handle. They were slow. They were slow in decisions. It was like, you know, the Devils came at them with speed, and was the first time they had seen NHL speed because they didn't play NHL players in the three preseason games. Not their fault, but that's the way it broke down. And so the first time they saw NHL speed were the Devils coming at them, and I think they panicked. They started being tentative, and they reverted back to what they know, which is last year. That's what's ingrained in their mind. And I asked Lindy Ruff this week, you know, how long does it take for all the things you're trying to teach them to become habit? Because that's what has to happen. What Lindy Ruff wants them to do has to be habit. You can't be thinking about it. You can't be, well, we got to go here. No, it just has to become habit where it happens. Yes, you know, because that's, you've practiced it enough, you played it enough that it's a habit. He said he thinks it's already habit. I'm not seeing that at all. All I saw was them revert back to last year because that's what they know. And it obviously didn't work out. You know, the power play, of course, as you mentioned, didn't help them going 0-for-6. They couldn't even get the puck into the zone, which it was a problem last year also. And they scored two goals. Missed two wide open nets because they babied the puck and you'd shoot it. I mean, shoot it through the back of the net and let it go through the net and hit the boards if you have to. But you can't miss wide open nets. I mean, the first one was in a 2-0 game by Obey Cabell. Well, if that's a wide open net, you're in the crease, and you baby the puck and you allowed Markstrom to get his stick back to make a save. And then Tuck had Allen. He wasn't even anywhere near the crease. And Devil defenseman, I think one was Dougie Hamilton, trying to scramble to get into the crease, and he hit the post. In a 2-0 game and Obey Cabell scores there, it's 2-1. Does it change the game? Well, we don't know, but we also didn't get a chance to see if it changes the game. Maybe it changes the whole complexion of the game. Maybe you start getting some confidence because you scored a goal there and it's 2-1. And maybe the whole thing changes. Who knows? But they never got a chance to find out. Here you are. Playing whatever way you played, but you had two wide open nets, which you missed early in the game. You have Tage Thompson, a guy who has scored 47 goals in this league, come in twice for good scoring chances coming through the circle. He missed the net both times. You can't miss the net there if you're Tage Thompson. You just can't. And, you know, those are the types of things that just, same thing last year. I mean, you're not around the net enough. When they got around the net, what a hard-working goal that Thompson scored. Greenway, he crashes the net. Thompson, he crashes the net. Tuck, he crashes the net. And they were relentless. Well, if we saw more of that, Tuck was talking about that. You'll hear it on the pregame show tonight. You know, if we saw more of that, they would score more goals. And that's what Lindy Ruff is trying to teach them. So, Lindy Ruff's the head coach, and if he feels that it's already habits, that, you know, he's forgotten more hockey than I know, but that's not what I've seen.
Right, like it's one of those things that you hear, and it kind of, you know, almost perks your ears up, because you're like, really? Are we sure? And it's just, you brought it up, Paul, there, like Thompson missing the net. I feel like that's been the last two, maybe even 3 years. Dylan Cousins becomes addicted to hitting the post. It's just, they're a team that you can see talent. You can. I mean, it's why I still somewhat believe in this group. But then that you go out on the ice, and it was sort of the same over this weekend, too, or this past weekend, too, of just they get down in these early slumps and just seemingly, as you put it, they reverted back to last year. They reverted back to bad habits in some sort of sense of panic or what have you. It's just, it does seem like the same things with this team. I understand it's two games in, and we've got a lot of hockey to go. This team also didn't play many preseason games due to the European trip. But, man, it was disheartening. But, you know, last night you saw a lot of teams. Edmonton didn't score a single goal with guys like Leon Draisaitl, Connor McDavid, and now Jeff Skinner. So, I mean, it is
early. Please don't include him in that.
I had to just a little bit.
Well, I'm not sure he's still a goal scorer anymore. He's 32 years old, whatever. Maybe. We'll find out. But I think that's starting to decline.
almost. I mean, me and you, I think, both agreed on it too. Of you know, probably a good idea to move him out at this time, even if you have to do the buyout and everything like that. It's just for this team, especially. And I brought it up there at the top. It feels like this fan base, and I would say the team itself as well. It feels like, especially tonight, they need a win. You got Florida coming in on Saturday. They look just as good as they did last year. Not as bad as Carolina, but you really have never had to. We've never had a great game against them. The Kings, like you said, don't have Drew Doughty. Tonight feels really important for the first 2-3 weeks of the season, if not the entire season.
Well, two things. I would say don't blame the post thing all on Dylan Cousins. I've been playing hockey or watching hockey since I was 7 years old. I have never, ever seen a team hit the post more than this team does. It's everybody. It astounds me how many times they hit the post. I've never seen anything like it. I can't explain it, but they do that. You look at the schedule, honestly, I think 4 out of 5 games are very winnable games because they have these 2 at home, and then they go 3 on the road, which I think are winnable games. You're playing Pittsburgh, Columbus, and Chicago. So, you know, I think you have an opportunity here. As poorly as I feel they played in Prague and are 0-2 and have already dug themselves a hole, they can dig themselves out of it in pretty quick order. You know, if they just go out and play their game, you know, the opportunity is here, right here and now, early in the season, to get right back on track, I think.
So, Paul, among other things, obviously tonight is the first regular season home game that Lindy Ruff has coached since 2013. So, I mean, what do you think the reception is going to be like that for tonight? I mean, it's probably going to be a pretty good atmosphere in there for the people that are there, right?
It'll be huge. When he's introduced, it'll be a huge reception for him. So, you know, it's – but the thing is, too, he doesn't have the luxury of a honeymoon. I know fans are really, you know, I guess I would maybe use the word icon here in Buffalo, and they're excited about it. But if at the end of these 4 games I just talked about, it hasn't gotten any better, and they're 1-3, or I guess it's 5 games now, and they're 1-3-1 or 1-4, that'll be it for Lindy Ruff. The idea of Lindy Ruff being the coach will have worn off by then, and so it semi-wore off in Prague. I mean, my timeline was a mess, you know. So, you know, this team does not get any leeway whatsoever. Probably, I don't blame it. I don't know if they deserve leeway, quite honestly. It's not Lindy Ruff's fault that they've gone all this time without being in the playoffs. It's not any of these players' faults. They've gone all this time in the playoffs, but most of them are at least part of it. You know, how long has Rasmus Dahlin been here? He's almost been here for half of it. You know, Kevin Adams is, you know, he's now been here for, you know, so for a while too. So he's part of it. That you no longer can say, well, it's not fair to put it all on us. You know, well, you're part of it too. So, you know, they're not going to get a honeymoon or a grace period. This has to change. It has to change now. And they've said so themselves. They, you know, all along, Kevin Adams and Lindy Ruff says the time is now.
It does feel like the group says all the right things. I mean, I'm somebody that got caught up, I want to say last year, during their end of season press conferences at Locker Clean, out of them all being furious that they weren't in playoff hockey. Then they came in last year and just kind of was never really got off the ground. So I've now become a little stale to what everyone says. Partially due to I get excited and then they show up and I'm like, all right, and it's the same team. To the young guys, though, who really have not been here for much of the drought at all, JJ Paterka, Zach Benson, both either picked up injuries or sort of injured already in Prague, but both talked yesterday, seemed pretty confident they could play tonight. Paul, what did you hear from both of them?
And Lindy Ruff was hoping, too. It sounds like what Lindy Ruff was talking about is just, look, at let's let it go overnight. Let's see how practice settled in. But he's looking, as I'm watching Benson come on the ice right now, you know, he's looking to for them. As he said, we hope they can play. So I think it would have taken a setback from practice for them not to be able to be in the lineup. And both players after practice said they both felt good. Benson said that it wasn't anything that happened in the game. It was a nagging thing that had been bothering him, and it just got worse in the game that he couldn't go for the second game. So, but it wasn't really anything that happened in the game. It's just something that had been bothering him.
So, Paul, another thing that we know in the past is never something we can really tell before the game, but goalie situation. Obviously, Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen and Devin Levi come in here tonight. I would assume that Luukkonen's probably going to be the starter, but, I mean, the whole feeling around the two of them this year, I feel like it's going to be kind of a feel-it-out-as-we-go sort of vibe, mm-hmm. Or what's your take on it so far?
Yeah, my guess is Luukkonen will play the next three, and then we'll see Levi in Columbus. That's my guess, because that's three games in four, and that would be the second of a back-to-back. So, or if they wanted to, they could let Levi play the first game of the back-to-back. You know, Luukkonen plays the first two, and then Levi plays in Pittsburgh. They could do it that way, too, if they wanted to. Then Luukkonen in Columbus and Chicago. But I think that's – I mean, Lindy had said at his press conference that, you know, his goaltender is Luukkonen. But he's not willing to say that Lukanen's going to get up to 54 games like he did last year. It's basically a wait-and-see type of thing. You know, he has sat down with Mike Bales trying to get to know the two goaltenders, what makes them tick. And as he said, Mike Bales does a lot to kind of drive that ship, too. You know, Lindy didn't play goal in the National Hockey League. Most of the head coaches that you see here, unless they're named Patrick Waugh, you know, haven't. So they have to really rely heavily on their goaltending coach and talking about goaltenders. And it's the head coach's final decision, but they rely on their goaltending coaches. So I think early on here, unless they're going to do the Bruins basically back and forth when they had Swayman and Allmark. They both got 40 games or more last year, so which is basically, if they could, they went back and forth. So maybe Levi has earned that you know, he would get the Florida game and, you know, and they would alternate. But we're just going to have to wait and see. But he did say if a goaltender gets on a roll, you know, pretty good chance they're going to wind up in the net. So I don't think he really knows what he wants to do. He's going to let the season unfold and let the season tell him what he wants to do. You know, if they're both playing really, really well, then they both play. If one's quite a bit better than the other, then he's going to play most of the time. I think he's going to let the season dictate how he's going to go about it.
Might be the way, or the best way to do it. Paul, last thing here before we let you get off to practice. Going to turn our attention to baseball. The Yankees last night. Good 3-2 win over the Royals in Kansas City. Stanton with a home run. They lead that series now 2-1. And if they win tonight, on to the ALCS. How are we feeling?
Well, this is what they got Cole for. I mean, there are times Cole has pitched well this year, and there's times he's been awful. But this is why they got him. It's playoff baseball. Cole has a chance to end it, and let's go to the next series. So that's his opportunity. That's what he's paid to do. And that's what he's got to do, and I'm sure he relishes that kind of an opportunity. Usually players of that ilk really do, although Judge, still, I mean, mm-hmm. he has just not performed in the playoffs in his career, and he's not in this playoff either, so you can't explain it, but Stanton does perform in the playoffs and hit a big home run for them to get them over the top and stole a base.
Which is insane. That should not happen.
He can't run because of injuries. They can't put him in the outfield anymore. That's why he's such a huge double play player. You know, plays that wouldn't be double plays on anybody else are on him. And watching it, they just totally ignored him. And he just got further off first and further off first and further off first. And he was like maybe 40% of the way there. And he said, okay, let's go.
Like, I guess I'll run.
And he made it. It was like, wow, he just stole a base. But when I saw the replay, I said, okay. They just totally ignored him and let him get the Volpe running lead, and off he went.
Game time tonight at 8 o'clock, an hour after the Sabres get going against the Kings. So, Paul, it's going to be a long night for you. Thanks for coming on with us this morning. We'll talk again for the pregame.
Take care, guys.
That was Paul Hamilton there on the Western Hotline. Again, pregame right here on WGR starting at 6 o'clock for a 7 p.m. puck drop as the Sabres have their home opener tonight against the L.A. Kings. I haven't actually looked forward to the schedule that much. I've been keeping it very, like, within the two games, what have you, within the week. They do have a nice early schedule here. You do get a Kings team that is has not been home for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I mean, they're also injured. Florida, not great. Going to that game. Already sort of regretting it. It's fine. I seem to always go to the Florida Panthers games. And then, yeah, you get Pittsburgh, Columbus, Chicago, Dallas, and Detroit, and Florida after that. That's not great. But if you can pick up a win here,
mm-hmm.
get a point in Florida or against Florida, you right. feel a little bit better well, going
and,
forward.
And that's the thing, too. Like with Florida, I'm looking at it. The Sabres have always played decently well against Florida.
It's frustrating as hell.
Okay.
Again, it's super frustrating.
Captain Optimism is here today. Listen to me. Please. Listen, Zach. Hear me out. We've gone to Florida games. We've gone to Sabres Florida games together, and we see how aggressive they get with these Panthers players. I mean, Darlene and Tkachuk.
Super fun, yeah.
Darlene and Tkachuk wanted to fight in the locker room 2 years ago. So I don't think there's – like, it could be a close game. And sure, they could go in there, and it could be rough because they are the defending Stanley Cup champions after all with not much turnover from their team. But
– that Reinhardt goal was so cool.
Yeah, he's crazy. He is so good. But I look – like you said, you look at this first schedule – this first week and a half, 2 weeks of the schedule, there's a lot of 3 days in a row you're off. And you can just kind of breathe a little bit. Sure, there's a back-to-back in there, like Paul brought up, with Pittsburgh and Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
But one, Pittsburgh to Columbus is not a far trip. Two, you have two good goaltenders. You're fine in that regard. And three, that's the second-to-last game of your three-game road trip. So, I mean, you know, it's – and then you're home for four games. So then you have –
yeah, there's
light at the end of the tunnel.
You're not the Kings where it's seven games mm-hmm. or a really yeah. extended road trip. It's quick. You're not traveling across the country. They're relatively close cities. I mean, they're as close as they can be.
There's really no big road trip until the end of November when you go to L.A. to take mm-hmm. on the Kings. But, I mean, because if you look at it, there's all these home games sprinkled in here in the first month and a half of the season. But then your road trips are Pittsburgh, Columbus, Chicago, Detroit, New York,
mm-hmm.
Philadelphia. So it's not really – and two, between all those trips, after Chicago, you have 3 days off until your next game when you get home. After Detroit, you have 3 days off till you get home.
Mm-hmm.
After New York, you have off 2 days.
Okay.
Or a day, I should say, yeah. because it'd be a Friday.
When's the first Sabres yeah. after dark? Man, it's not until like late
November 2nd. Yeah, against the Kings and then Anaheim and then San Jose. But that's even a short trip because after those three games, you come back home. That's a short Sabres after dark. We're not yeah. doing the whole West Coast swing there.
November 20th, L.A., 22nd, Anaheim. And then, yeah, San Jose is an 8 o'clock game.
It's a Saturday.
Yeah.
Nice. That's a good one. I like that. Saturday, 8 o'clock games, that's a pretty good time.
That's pretty good.
Like,
pretty good.
Sabres After Dark is a great time overall. But when they're on the weekend, it's like, oh, no commitments tomorrow. We're fine. We can stay up till 1 in the morning and hopefully have a good result.
I think it's just and I say this both, obviously, you can tell by my tone. I'm pessimistic. I get it.
It's okay.
They've earned it.
We'll get there.
But this is important.
Yeah.
As Paul brought up, too, like, there really isn't going to be a honeymoon period for Lindy Ruff as head coach.
And I think
– and if you start the season off 0-3 –
I feel
and you
like,
lose tonight for the home opener, and then you got Florida coming into the building on Saturday. It's gonna feel like, here we go again. We're on to year 14. Just put up the banner now. We know the drought continues, and it's the feeling of an apathetic fan base that I think should be the worry for everyone in that building. Is the worry that eventually, even the big moment games, you won't get people showing up. There will be people tonight for Lindy's first regular season home game in forever.
9 years.
9 years. But those big moments won't last forever. You're number one, you're running out of big moments anyways. And that's the fear, is that once you've run out of big moments and then the team isn't good, you're just never filling out the building, and that fan base becomes apathetic. They need to be good. Not great. I'm not saying they need to be great this year, mm-hmm. but they need to make the playoffs with this group, or they're never going to attract free agents. They're never going to get taken off of people's no-trade clauses.
Right.
And so, well, yes, it's game three of an 82-game season. I get it. There's a lot there. You need to give some sign of hope, some sign of life, some sign that Ruff as head coach is actually working. I will tell you, and I don't know if Paul necessarily shares my fears, but you know, he was also kind of given like a little bit of like a, really, it's already ingrained to them? Like, are we sure? And That's sort of my feeling, is like, I don't love hearing that they've, you know, Ruff already thinks they've changed ways, and because the weekend did not look like that. Mm-hmm. The weekend looked exactly like last year's team in almost every way. The power play, the inability to just get it in the opposition zone is just, I mean, it's turn the TV off type stuff.
Right. Well, and that's too, like let's say, you know, let's say the Sabres go out there and it's, they lose tonight, right? Like, let's say that happens. Yep. If it's a loss like the last two games, there's problems. If it's a, hey, you know, it's 4-3 and you played a great game, you're out shooting the Kings, you just got unlucky.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot different of a loss than 4-1 and 3-1 where you're barely getting pucks on net.
Yeah.
So I don't want to sound like that guy, but it does make a difference on how the loss happens. If it's a close game all the way to the end and you're back and forth, that's one thing. But if it's a...
Dude, I told you to.
You go down early and you try to make a comeback, mm-hmm. but you can't get enough, then that's, okay, you shouldn't have been in that situation.
I was going to say, it's because it's very similar of, well, you fell behind late,
right?
Like you always do.
Or you fell behind early, like you always do.
And you brought up the point, too, if you play close, but you ultimately lose. If you can get it to overtime, this is something me and Paul have talked about a lot, too, of the loser points. Just keep picking up points.
The Blue Jackets made it to the playoffs one year with 20 overtime losses. That's 20 free points for a loss.
I don't think...
Do away with the overtime point, by the way.
I don't think most of this fan base cares how they get there. Just get there.
Yeah, right.
We still talk about the COVID year where, what, 90% of the league made it? I'm being facetious.
I would take an 0-0-82 season. Because there's a chance that you could make it into the playoffs some years with 82 points. Not recently. But hey, you lose 82 games in overtime, you still have 82 points at the end of the year. That's better than most of the teams in the league.
Yep.
Or almost half the teams in the league.
Yep. 803-0550, the number to call. How are we feeling about tonight's game? Are you going? Are you excited? Love to hear your thoughts again. 803-0550, the number to call. Coming up at 11:30, we will get a check-in with the Bills as well, as they're getting ready for their Monday night game against the Jets. And the Jets will have a new play caller. No, Nathaniel Hackett is not fired, but Todd Downing is going to be the team's new offensive play caller starting Monday night against the Bills. We'll give our thoughts on that as we go, but we're thinking very Sabres heavy today. As you know what? It's home opener. Why not? We didn't get to really talk about them too much in Prague because they weren't really here. It was kind of hard to. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. You're listening to WGR.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The days are getting shorter, but the lights couldn't be brighter. This time of year, baseball is different, and the whole world is watching. All of the clutch hits, the game-saving grabs, the plays at the plate, and the head-first slides under the tag. That's peak baseball. Experience all of the autumn action. It's postseason season. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I feel like you're so excited for every game to start that it doesn't really matter how long the times in between are. It's not the optimal situation maybe, but I said it before, it never is. So, you know, I'm just excited that we get to play again.
Sabres goaltender Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. All reports at practice say he is in the starters. Not too surprising. He's going to get the start tonight against the Kings. I loved how Levi looked, though, for much of the second New Jersey game. Again, Josh, and this shows that I am a fan, didn't get to watch the game live. Watched it later. Recorded it, watched it later.
Look at you.
I know. Thank you. He looked good for most of the game, though. Like, kept them alive kind of deal.
And I love Levi's pads are insane.
Yeah, it's growing on me. It is growing on me. The old
leather look,
yeah.
It's so good.
I think, I was not a fan initially.
I think he needs like a little bit of Sabres signage on there somewhere, like in a black color,
mm-hmm.
because it would just pop off the leather.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I feel like you might just ruin the aesthetic.
I like it, but it kind of needs to have that, like, you know how those pads kind of have I don't know how to explain it, but like the stitching looks.
Oh, yeah, where like in the knees and everything, it looks like there's little like extra pillows in there.
Right.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I wish if he was going for that look. It just kind of looks like a normal pad, just brown.
I don't think they would have been able to do it because not rules, but because pads are so different now than they were back when that was a thing.
That's right.
He could have done like a design.
Though.
Yeah.
I but don't want to make it sound like I don't.
No, no, yeah. He could have done like a design to it too, where it just like the lines, but I don't know. I don't know if it would give the same effect because like those, you could see like the ridges and the waves in the pads. But do you remember in the arena? I don't know if they still do. I'd have to check next time I go, but up in the one area in the 100 section, like the one like lounge area right by the escalators, they have like the poles and they have like little tables around the poles where you could stand there. Around the bottom of the poles, they had old goalie pads surrounding it. I don't know why this just came into my head, but I just remember seeing those when I was a kid and thinking they were so cool. But like, I don't even know if they're still there anymore. I'm really interested now. I haven't like paid attention when I'm walking by there recently, so I don't remember, but yeah. Those, there's just the pads that look like that. Like, it's just a nice heritage look.
I like, I'm as I get older, I'm more into like some of the vintage looks. Like, I love in the NFL, especially when like you get a lot of throwback uniforms.
How do you feel about the Jaguars ones?
Love those.
Yeah.
I don't even think they're particularly good ones.
No, but.
But like, I'm like, good.
They're still, they're like, it's a throwback, so it just gives good vibes. And I don't know why that is. Even when the team was bad, when they, if they.
Well, like, it's always I bring up with Tampa Bay, like whenever they pull out their creamsicles. Like that was a team that went, I think, 0-26 to start their like lives.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, great vibes. Looks awesome.
The color was great. The logo was fantastic.
Yeah.
Like the winking pirate,
buccaneer.
Oh, the pirate so with good. The sword in the mouth and the big feather hat. Oh, so
it great. Was the least like 70s looking football thing ever. Because again, it
and
was a pirate winking at you. Oh, so good. It was so different from everything else. And then, of course, you do have the Raiders at the time. So, like, they're the iconic sort of they're also kind of a pirate.
The Pittsburgh Pirates have a similar thing to this, too. They have their, it's not one of their main logos. It's more of like a third or an alternate logo where it's their pirate with his bandana and a little dagger in his mouth.
It's so good. I love throwbacks. And that also counts with the Sabres. For much of my life, I was not a big fan of the red and black. I was raised a traditionalist. I like the royal blue and gold, what have you. But now that it's come back, I'm like, nah, never mind. Bring back the 90s grunge look. Yeah, I'm all for it. and it's part of it. Like, it's just there is something to throwbacks of, like, even if the team wasn't particularly good in the era, which actually, funny enough, for the Jaguars in the 90s, they were. Like, they showed up with Mark Brunell and were good, like, I think 3 years into their existence. But, yeah, I think there is something to those throwback uniforms that I really, really like. And a lot of it is just, there's the sense of nostalgia. For a lot of us, it was when we were younger and what have you. Let's get connected to our fans, though, brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Just doing a vibes check on the Sabres for opening, for the home opening night. Of course, they did play two games in Prague.
It feels like opening night.
It does. And it's like, I joked that I'm like, the first two games didn't count because Europe's not real. I know Europe's real. It's just more like, it feels so wrong. Like, there were preseason games going on that Saturday, that Friday, I think, too. And yet we had technically the NHL season start. The league cannot get out of its own way. Gang tweets in, vibes are below the ground, but I'm still going to watch anyways because I'm a sick individual. I feel that one. I feel that one in my heart. I've done that for so many sports teams that like I should not give two thoughts about, but I keep watching. Texas Longhorns for the longest time.
Yeah, now they're back.
Well, I was going to say, it's like I've gotten through the dark period, but man, there were times.
And, hey,
I'm watching Ace McCoy going like, hey, he's like his brother, baby. We're here. And they're 6-6.
Think of that feeling. Remember that feeling that you had with Texas all those years, and now here you are. That's what you're gonna feel at the Sabres soon.
You're not gonna want that though. Like I don't.
What do you mean? I want everyone to feel like that.
When Texas got back, it was stunning and surprising to me. Like I was sort of like, I don't want to say on the outside, but I was just like, when they hired Steve Sarkisian, I was like, oh boy, all right, here we go. And it is bad on me, but it was a lot to do with his dismissal at USC and some of his past and everything like that. And I was just like, whatever, here we are. And then it was Oh, you're good. You met expectations and in parts exceeded them. Like, I was happy. Now, there are still points, though. I will tell you, that team brings me nerves like nobody else. I mean, it's the Red River this weekend, on Saturday, actually, funny enough. And I don't talk about it, thankfully, because I work in Buffalo, but I'm on edge, like, the whole week.
Yeah.
The whole week, I'm on edge. I'm not watching anything with Texas. I think the line was 14.5 when it opened this weekend, and I nearly threw up. I want no part of that. There's a big reason why I'm going to the Sabres game on Saturday.
Just to avoid all thoughts of.
Well, I mean, the game starts at 3:30. The game will go on beforehand, but it's more the idea of like I'm planning that as well, like before the game starts, and then once the game starts, it's like, all right, here we go. Just, we're gonna sit down and watch it.
Yeah,
We'll see what happens. Chris tweets in, they didn't win me over with their trip to Europe. I'm going to take a wait-and-see approach before I invest in this team. I think that is definitely fair.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's kind of the right way to do it, is sort of not a hands-off approach, but definitely of like, I'm going to check the scoreboard, turn on the game, turn on the radio. Where are we? Okay. All right. Okay. Because I think that's the thing for me, too, and where I've gotten. And I said a little bit to Paul, too, of just like, I would listen to these guys, you know, in the postseason, or, you know, locker clean out or what have you, or in the preseason, and get real fired up about some of the quotes. You know, again, guys getting furious that they're not playing playoff hockey, and you're thinking, man, they're going to come out like a bat out of hell. And then they don't. And it deflates me quickly. Last year was sort of this feeling, too, where like the Bills, funny enough, were kind of in the same spot where, you know, all of a sudden the losses started picking up and they didn't look that great. And you're like, oh, here we go. Hey, at least we got the sand. The Sabres are the Sabres. And it was deflating. And I'm trying to avoid that deflating feeling that I've had for a number of years with this team, because I said it last year. I was kind of upset with myself that I only went to a few games. I mm-hmm. love going to games.
Yeah.
Love it.
The atmosphere is always pretty good.
Pretty good. I've said this before. I'm a much bigger fan of football. I don't prefer going to football games. I much prefer going to a bar and watching it with a bunch of my friends, or, you know, even here working and being with a lot of my friends, or at home and watching it. I far prefer that. For hockey games, it's the complete and total opposite. I way prefer going. And yet I only went to two last year. And one of them was because a buddy of mine was like, hey, I have tickets. Do you want to go? And I'm like, yeah, why not? I got nothing else going on like, I think it's Sunday at that time. You know, this year I'm like, I want to go early. You know, I want to get back in the arena. I want to go when hopefully vibes are still good and where vibes are only going to start getting better.
Mm-hmm.
But man, I mean, they leave me on a knife's edge a little bit.
Well, and I look at, like you said, some years we have, you know, all these quotes and we're mad that we're not in the playoffs, so we're going to come back hard next year. That was what, 2 years ago, last year, something mm-hmm. like that. Mm-hmm. And like you have all these things that fire you up, and obviously this year, a lot of it is, hey, Lindy Ruff is back. Let's see what happens here. But there hasn't really been like that one press conference with one of the players where it's like, you know, they say all the right things and everyone gets fired up from it. There hasn't been a feeling like that. And I think that it kind of gives a different vibe to the start of this, where it's, you know, we're all just kind of waiting here, not really sure what to expect. I know we all want playoffs, but what are we all really expecting?
Right? Yeah, it's probably fair. Because up until like that, I can't remember the data site now. On last Friday, the morning of the first game, where all of a sudden it was like, "Hey, yeah, the Sabres are actually projected to be in the playoffs." I felt like the vibes and their expectations this year were not high at all,
mm-hmm.
and it was just like, "Oh, a season starting."
Right. Yeah, well, yeah, and that, like I said, like you haven't had that rah-rah moment mm-hmm. of, oh, like, you know, we're fired up, we're ready to go. I mean, sure, there's obviously been then those buzzwords of like, yeah, we're excited to play in front of the fans, and here we are. And like Lindy saying all the things he did when he was introduced as head coach.
The video they play right before the beginning of the game is going to just hit so hard.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be good.
It does every time for me.
It always does.
They always give me.
But I look at all of those things and how it's all like led up to this.
Mm-hmm.
And even counting in Prague, there really wasn't like this moment in Prague where everyone buys in.
But no.
But everyone is still there, I think. I mean, I feel like, yes.
It's early. I think it's fair to say it's early.
Because it's early. But I want to know what people feel like. If you have a thought, 803-0550. But I just want to know what people expect. Not what you want. What
you're expecting.
And personally, I'm kind of expecting something we haven't seen before, whether that be good or bad. I just don't think it's going to be a Sabres team we've seen in the past 13 years.
Because the first two games didn't give me a lot of hope for that.
No, I know. But I do feel like, you know, hey, you're in Europe. You didn't have a normal training camp. You have a new head coach. You lost some key pieces, whether it be leadership group or on the ice. I know everything that happened with Kyle Okposo, like, you know, it's, he still was a leader on this team. He was here for almost 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Same with Zemgus Girgensons. He was here for 10 years. I found myself watching those Prague games and going, where is Zemgus Girgensons? What happened to Kyle Okposo? Oh, yeah.
No, they're not here.
And I didn't think that way about Jeff Skinner because, yeah, mm-hmm. sure, Skinner's been here for a while. But, like, the two constants were Kyle Okposo and Zemgus Girgensons. They always found their way back, and now they're gone. And it's not saying that just those two are the vibe change or, mm-hmm. or the feeling change, but mm-hmm. I do think that the fact that they were away for so long, didn't have a normal training camp, and weren't home. Like, this Kings team tonight yep. hasn't been home in like 2 weeks,
which is
still crazy. And I look at all those factors, and I just wonder, you know, maybe Prague was just a fluke. And I'm not saying, you know, they're going to go out and barnstorm the Kings tonight, but
would be nice.
I wonder what expectations are like in terms of how everyone's feeling tonight.
Yeah, just I think the expectations, I think, for a lot of people are going to be down, especially they did not go and get a top six forward, which I think is a huge miss. But I also think that stems from two off seasons ago now of when the iron was hot, when teams really were starting to look at you and go, hey, they're an ascending organization. That team is on fire. And that you brought them up. They re-signed Kyle Okposo and Zemgus Girgensons. And that was kind of about it. It's just every time it feels like this organization should zag, they zig. And, they go, instead of going right, they go left. Some of it's not on them. Sometimes they've hired people that get a lot of credibility. Other times it's not that. It's just they need to prove to people that they're actually a respectable organization. Because in a sport where a lot of the organizations make the playoffs every year, and you'll have bad nights, it does feel like we're a team like Edmonton, who gets shut out last night, lose 6-0.
That's rough. That's rough.
That's rough. But I wouldn't think Edmonton fans are sitting there going, hey, here we go. Here comes the collapse. They're instead thinking, that's a terrible night. Way to open up the season. All right, we'll be fine. We'll be okay.
Well, yeah, but I mean, even that's Boston. Because they were just in the Stanley Cup final.
Sure, but like even Boston, who was going through their own bit of change, and they had the Jeremy Swayman stuff.
Well,
they see Corposalo play like garbage. I would imagine Boston fans are like, we'll be all right.
Swayman's, I don't know. Swayman's gonna get going. I think that's a different conversation because, yes, Swayman is there and Swayman is good. But you've just found out that you have no backup.
Sure.
You have no one behind him. Whereas before, you had Linus Ullmark.
But is a single one of those fans actually worried they'll miss the playoffs?
Probably not, no. But
where for Sabres fans, they lose two games in Prague after having three training camp practices and a scrimmage.
Mm-hmm.
And we all think the sky is falling, partially because we've kind of been proven true a lot of the time.
Well, that's my point about the whole expectations thing, is we don't have much to base off of aside from those two losses and a few practices.
Yeah.
On North American soil. Like, you're not to say that makes a big difference, but you're not in your own building. You're not accustomed to everything.
803-0550, the number two call. Zach Jones and Josh Schmidt here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. You're listening to WGR.
2-1 to Lindor. Now the pitch. Swing and a drive towards the gap in right center. It's pretty deep. It's back near the wall. It's gone. It's gone. Francisco Lindor. He may have just outdone himself. He has hit a grand slam into the Phillies' bullpen in right center field. The Mets are leading by a score of 4-1. They were famished for the big hit all night. And Francisco Lindor just provided a feast. Mets 4, Phillies 1 here in the sixth inning.
And that is how the game would end, 4-1. Mets head on to the NLCS. They are waiting to see if it'll be the Dodgers or the Padres. Francisco Lindor, man, what a player. He is so, so good. I'm not a Mets fan, but it is giving vibes of 2015 Yoenis Céspedes.
Like
from the outside looking at it. And
Céspedes was...
They get him at the trade deadline, and he just becomes nearly a folk hero for Mets fans as they go to the World Series, ultimately lose to Kansas City, which the Royals are also in this playoffs right now.
Céspedes had a special place in my heart for a long time.
He had a weird career, didn't he?
He did. But that man had the ability to throw the ball like 500 yards.
Yeah.
and be fine and not throw out his arm. I mean, as an outfielder growing up, it was something awesome to watch. Like, it was really cool.
Lindor, though, so much fun last night. I think the Mets before that had the bases loaded twice prior.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously didn't get a single run out of that.
Yeah.
And then bases load again, Lindor goes up. I'm watching it. I'm sitting in there with our own Brayden Wilson as well. And it just it kind of felt like it was going to happen. And it just crack of the bat.
Yeah.
And when the Mets are good, baseball is fun.
Yeah, and
there is something, too, when the Mets are good,
Yeah.
There is just a vibe. They really are.
Good for Lindor too, because he's had very rocky moments.
I think I saw him crying last night too. And like,
yeah.
It was
Brandon Nimmo cried too. Yep. Yeah, it was.
Oh, you could just see
the emotion in that team, and especially too because like, this seems to be the year of the young underdog in the MLB playoffs. I mean, like, you have the Mets, you have the Tigers. Who, mind you, the Tigers and the Blue Jays had the same record in August, and the Tigers are here, and the Blue Jays are, you know.
Well, the Blue Jays, arguably,
in vacation land, wherever that may be. But no, I mean, I really enjoy when it's the underdog season, right? Like when you have all these underdogs kind of making their way through, it almost gives the vibes of March Madness when you have a couple upsets and you just kind of are like, all right, here we go. Those are my teams now. I've never heard of them before, but they're my teams now. In this case, obviously, you've heard of
them. Sounds like a fake school, but I'm rolling with them.
And obviously, in this case, you've heard of the Tigers and the Mets, but it was. Wow, the Mets are 0-5 and no one is at the game, and all of a sudden Grimace shows up and you win 25 games in a row. I know it wasn't 25, but it felt like it.
It's been so much fun. They actually won't find out, though, who they're playing in the NLCS until Friday night at 8 when the Padres and Dodgers have game 5. And then today, two games, all in the, obviously, AL. Guardians, Tigers at 6. And then, obviously, we talked to Paul, Royals and Yankees at 8 o'clock. Should be a lot of fun. I've been having a blast with playoff baseball this year. I am going to be checking those games intermittently with the Sabres game tonight.
If you're a Mets fan, do you want the Padres or the Dodgers?
Padres.
Yeah.
I think the Dodgers haven't been able to have healthy pitching, don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. But there is something to, like, I still don't want to deal with the firepower that they do have.
Right.
With Ohtani, with Mookie Betts, with the best team money can buy. I'd rather not deal with that for me personally. 803-0550, the number to call. Talking a lot of Sabres today. We'll also get a look in with the Bills. A lengthy injury report yesterday. Unofficial, though. The first official injury report will come out today. But we'll hear from Sal Capaccio coming up in just about a half hour. But looking for your calls and your tweets as well. Zach Jones and Josh Schmidt, you're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.